It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women step out of the closet to live authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt and shame, Rick's heart-centered approach is loaded with bankable advice and take action tips for living powerfully on the other side of the closet door. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, thought-provoking insights, and diverse perspectives for living out and proud. Pull up a chair and spend an inspiring hour in the Coming Out Lounge, stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons.
Well, welcome everybody and happy Wednesday. Boy, this week is just flying by, and I have to say I'm really intrigued for today's show because it's something that I have often observed and often felt very curious about in my own gay and lesbian community. And the person that I'm going to be bringing on the show in just a few minutes has really got some great insight into this particular subject. And, you know, being gay is such a hot button these days, especially being in the political season that we're in. And there's a huge amount of pride that comes along with standing up and, you know, being in our rights and saying, this is who I am. But I'm always really curious as what happens when you're doing that and you happen to be gay and also a person of color or a person of another ethnicity. And that's what we're going to kind of talk about today, because the tentacles of discrimination towards LGBTQ individuals alone runs really deep, but it can really run even deeper when you add that other element of being an African American or Asian or Hispanic in the gay and lesbian community. And I really just want this to be kind of a heartfelt show, because it's not just discrimination that happens in society. It is discrimination that also happens within our own LGBT community. And being a dual minority can really cause you to be feeling like you've been turned away from your own community. So, welcome to the show. I am Coming Out Coach Rick, and today, as I said, we're going to be talking about discrimination towards LGBTQ individuals in our own community, as well as the impact it has on being a dual minority. Believe it or not, this is really a huge epidemic that is running rampant in our schools, and it even plays out in the headlines from time to time. And it's just, it's really something that I feel like needs to get addressed sooner than later. And there really is another way to handle all this. So as always, if you find something that we're talking about, you feel free to tweet stuff out. My tweet handle is at Rick Clemons, and the Coming Out Lounge hashtags are #COLounge and #ComingOutLounge. So a little bit about my guest. He is from Jamaica, and he now resides in Raleigh, North Carolina, where he is the chair of Shades of Pride, and also he's an advisory member for the National Voices for Equality, Education, and Enlightenment. And what I really love about Akil Campbell is he really speaks from his heart, and he's got a huge resume of things that he's involved with, which shows that he's very involved in his community. So I really want to just open my arms and say, welcome, Akil. Thanks for being here with us today.
And thank you for having me. It's Absolutely. A pleasure to be here.
Yeah. And so what I'd really like to do is just, you know, we always kind of have each guest share a little bit of their own personal story. And you and I have talked a little bit about this, that, you know, being from Jamaica, and I was really shocked when I was doing a little research for the show that at one point in time, Time Magazine had actually basically given Jamaica the name of the most homophobic area of the world. And I was really shocked by it, even though I've heard that before.
Right.
But you didn't actually really come out when you were living in Jamaica, correct?
No, I did not. No, yeah. It would have been a bit difficult to do that there.
All right. And so talk a little bit about the difficulty that, you know, homosexuals really face in your home country of Jamaica.
Well, let's say that even there's no justice for any violence enacted upon homosexuals in Jamaica. Even the persons that we have in place to offer assistance, or say the police department, they're totally against homosexuals as well. I mean, they're the first ones who actually either incite or they'll even just ignore if they see someone in the streets being beaten. Just continue going about their business. But the thing is that when I was 17 or 18 years old, I was in a relationship. But you see, I had my circle of friends. So, I mean, I wasn't exposed to all the violence that happened to the average person on the streets. But, I mean, I learned more of this as I, when I left Jamaica and I saw it from the outside looking in, just how horrible things were back there.
Right. Well, and it is. And, you know, I've seen stories and I know we've seen, you know, different stories. If you follow any of the gay and lesbian news, you will see these things crop up, not just in Jamaica, but in, you know, obviously other places in the world, even within our own country, this happens. But I think it does lend a little bit of twist to this when you add to the fact that being homosexual and then being a person of color,
right,
brings a whole new light to even living here in America. And I would love for you to kind of give your perspective, because I know you do a lot of work with Shade Pride and with the National Voices and a couple of other organizations, but you live this, there's nothing you can do. This is who you are. You're an African-American man living out in the gay man. So,
and not just African-American, but also Jamaican. The thing is, it's the first, I'm 6 foot two. So, I mean, I'm the first person you see when I walk into a room sometimes. And then of course, my accent is of course different. So, you know, you just can't help but notice when I speak or when I walk into a room. And then add to that being gay. So it's like, well, not only does he stand out, he's also different from the others who stand out. So it's like a double whammy. But at the same time, you know, it's a matter of accepting who you are and overcoming any challenges which you may have. And it hasn't been easy. It took a while to get there. And I'll say that I kind of outed myself in 2010. With the first year for Triangle Black Pride, where I did an interview with WNC. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize just how much of a coverage that one radio interview or that interview actually got. I was in the hotel and people came up to me like, Akil, we heard you on the radio. Awesome. So even my coworkers back then, well, they found out. So, but I was like, well, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to live my life for who I am and that, you know, not for someone else.
Well, and I think this is, you know, this is one of those things that I always, when I'm working with clients, and you just beautifully said it, I am who I am, and I'm going to live for myself, not for someone else. It's probably one of the hardest things to overcome as a human being, because it comes off, you know, and there may even be some people listening today or later as they download podcasts that will hear that, and they might feel themselves kind of take a little offense to that comment, but it's really not selfish. In fact, very much not being selfish when you say, I'm going to live for myself, because once you can do that, it releases a lot of energy around negativity you may hold towards others.
Right. And the thing is, once I learn to accept me, I can then help others. If I don't do that, then I wouldn't be of any use to anybody else, because I'd be struggling with my own you know, shortcomings or so forth. So, I mean, definitely it was the first step in being able to be in a position where I am today to assist others go through the same process.
I think it says a lot about the positions you are in, because you are such an advocate in our community and you bring so much to that table, but I don't think you could have, and you know, that's a little bit of a judgment call on my part, but I don't think you can be that kind of an advocate in the community until you really learn to love yourself and live for yourself, because
right.
Get in the way of how you do things in our own community.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Very much so.
In our society, and let's kind of step away from Jamaica, because you did kind of live a different life there, but even coming to America, and you've lived in Miami, Chicago, and now you live in Raleigh, what kind of discrimination have you experienced yourself in our own community?
Let's say this. Miami was easy. Chicago was okay. The Triangle was a learning experience. Again, I came out here in 2010 after having been here for almost 3 years. This is the Bible Belt. It was a learning. It was a challenge. Put it that way. Whereas people are a bit more liberal in Miami, especially, and Chicago, we're not as liberal here in the Bible Belt. So, I'm still learning that.
Just for our listeners who may not be familiar with it, when you refer to the triangle, give us a little bit of definition about what that is.
We're looking at Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
I know what I thought, but I wanted to make sure our listeners.
Right. Yeah.
And you are deep in the Bible Belt, and there's no, you know, no offense to anyone about that. It is very much, this is everything pretty much from Arkansas, Texas, that direction is what we refer to as the Bible Belt. And it is very much, you're sinning against God and all beliefs, regardless of what church through that area. It is, that's just the way it is if you're homosexual. And also, it's very much discriminatory to be a person of color in so many areas there, even to this day. It's hard to believe and hard to have to say that, but I think it's very true in this day and age. So what about in your own gay community in the triangle? Do you find that being any discriminatory things coming up from time to time? Or
I would say not. I would say no, and I may be being a bit diplomatic, but I'd say no. I do know that we are somewhat separated. Everybody has their own cliques, but it's not blatantly displayed as racism or anything like that. We're just very much divided, and it's something which I struggle with as an LGBT person, because we're all gay. I mean, we should be able to come together as a community.
Yeah.
To benefit each other, but that's just not the case.
Right. And, you know, I really want to talk a little bit about that, because I know I have witnessed this and you've witnessed it. When we come back from the break, we're going to go to break here in just a few seconds. But I want to talk a little bit about what this discrimination looks like and the many faces that it takes on in our own gay community as we talk more about being a dual minority in the LGBT community and what that impact might be on you as an individual who's just coming out or is out. And that's what we'll be talking about when we come back from the break. I'm Coming Out Coach Rick, and I'm with my guest Akil Campbell, and we will be back.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
It's time to capture the simple piece of the Amish in your own life. Amish Wisdom with Suzanne Woods Fisher. Thursday afternoons at 5, 4 Central. Each week, Suzanne will have conversations with guests about living a life that incorporates principles of the Amish without going Amish. She'll cover the practical, simplicity, slowing down, reducing clutter, putting the brakes on materialism. The historical, how have the Amish survived for 400 years? How can we hold on to what we hold dear? And the spiritual, treasuring important values, honoring the past, and increasing peace of mind. You don't have to become Amish to make personal peace a reality. Amish Wisdom will help all of us live a simpler life. For more information, go to SuzanneWoodsFisher.com. With Amish Wisdom, Suzanne offers us a glimpse into a world of peace, serenity, and total commitment to family and God. This show just might change the way you live your life. It's Amish Wisdom with Suzanne Woods Fisher. Thursday afternoons at 5, 4 Central on TogiNet.com. Information is power, the power to change your life. So be here for Education to Excellence. Some of the most valuable information you may ever receive will be shared with you 7 p.m. Eastern every Tuesday night with Education to Excellence with your host, Bruce Beichman. You'll benefit from insightful shows featuring guests that are proven experts in their field. Little-known facts on how to improve your health by making one very simple change in your morning routine. If you're a high school graduate or working adult and a bachelor's, master's, or doctorate degree from an accredited college would change your life, you won't want to miss this. Education to Excellence. Shift your career into high gear without ever attending a traditional college class. Learn investment strategies from proven experts who have a track record of helping normal individuals build abnormal wealth. Check out their website, education2excellence.com. Then join us for the show, Education to Excellence, with your host, Bruce Beichman. Tuesday nights at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemons.
And we are back, and I'm really enjoying this conversation I'm having with my guest, Akil Campbell, who is the chair of Shades of Pride in Raleigh, North Carolina. And during the break, we were chatting about the different discrimination levels and things that occur, not only in society, but especially within the gay community. So I think we're going to kind of pick up what everybody wasn't hearing while we were on break, and we're going to kind of continue that discussion. So, Akil, what you were sharing with me is, you know, the differences of, you know, discrimination we find in our own gay community based on a number of factors. So why don't you share with the listeners what some of those factors are you've witnessed in your area?
Well, we could start with just geography. Again, we look at the triangle consisting of Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill, where we have specific clubs in Cary, in Raleigh, and in Durham. And you'll find that this is that the patronage isn't shared. Each club has its own following, and they don't pretty much, like you'll have the Cary group, which will not go to Durham, and vice versa. So the support is very much lacking as a community.
As a community, right.
Right. Right.
Then and I think this is somewhat, I think it's kind of interesting because this is similar in a lot of areas of the country. You know, there are differences in who will go to what kind of clubs and stuff. But I think when you get into your neck of the woods, there's some other things that I think you were just getting ready to describe that really start to bring this forward even more profoundly. So go ahead and give us some more examples there.
And we can also look at the age groups. So I guess it's pretty much the same throughout all cities. But when you have a smaller community, such as you find here in the Triangle, you'd only hope that the support is stronger, but it's just very much lacking. And then we could also look at the socioeconomic divide where, you know, certain class levels stick within their own class levels and we don't really join forces. And then when it comes to supporting minority groups, the own minority population is not supportive of that. They'll pretty much tend to support, I guess, other non-minority groups. Our strongest supporters for Pride, I can say to you is this, are not the minority groups. Our financial support comes from the non-minority groups, and that's kind of saddening.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just pretty much what we're dealing with here.
Right, right. Well, different. You know, and it's kind of interesting. I was doing, again, doing some research for the show this week, and I saw a statement by an Asian lesbian who does a blog around this sort of stuff. And she's actually somewhat of a comedian as well as a very big activist around the discrimination that occurs within our community. And she said something rather interesting. And at first I took a little offense to it, but then I thought, you know what? She's kind of right. And here's what she said. She says she has this belief that everyone is somewhat of a racist. And at first I thought, wait, I don't really buy into that. But then as I really sat with it a little bit, it kind of made sense because whether you're looking at someone because of the color of their skin or their sexual orientation or because they're overweight or they're too skinny, in reality, it is some form of, quote, racism.
Or discrimination.
So, yeah, or discrimination. So I'm curious, just from your perspective, how do you define what racism really is for you?
Well, for me, it's different. I only experienced racism perhaps once when I was in Chicago and by the Midway Airport. But having come from Jamaica, where our mother is out of many one people, I just didn't see it.
Right.
You know, because we have Asian Jamaicans, we have Caucasian Jamaicans. You just can't look at one person and say, well, this person is not Jamaican. I mean,
Right. We
all speak the same dialect, same accent.
Right.
So it's hard to tell. So I didn't see it there. It wasn't until, again, I came to the U.S. and I was in Midway and one of my coworkers said something to me which I found to be rather upsetting. So before I responded, I said, well, we're both assistant managers back then. I said, before I respond to you, I think I'm just going to go home for a minute and just, you know, recoup.
Right.
That's my first time. But even here in Raleigh, I don't see racism as such. What I see is just a very strong divide, a lack of collaborative efforts among the or in the community. It's just very separated.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're on to something there because I think – and sometimes we throw the word discrimination on it, but it could be just a true lack of divide. And you know, it is kind of everybody goes into their own little clique, so to speak.
Right.
And, you know, then they hole up together.
Right. So they stick with what they're used to, what is normal to them. And they don't try to experience something new or to maybe just learn a new culture.
Right.
For instance, with the name the agency which does Triangle Black Pride is Shades of Pride.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we celebrate the minority culture through events open to all. So it's Triangle Black Pride, but it is a matter of celebrating the black culture with everyone who wishes mm-hmm. to be present. But people sometimes ask, well, why the need for a black pride if there's already a pride? Well, if you look at most pride events where there isn't a minority focus, there is a minority absence.
Right. And I agree with you. And I think this is something that I think not only when it comes to the LGBT community, you know, the straight heterosexual community says, why is there the need for this pride? Well, then suddenly the LGBT community goes, well, why is there a need for a black pride? Or why is there a need for an Asian pride? Or why is there a need for a leather pride? You know what? If this is what makes the community stronger and allows another level of being proud of who you are as an LGBT individual, my personal opinion is, what does it matter? It's just part of it. But I love how you describe this as celebrating your black culture as another layer of what being gay is all about. And I don't think this is any different than, you know, an African American or African Jamaican or whatever it is celebrating some form of black pride in general. I mean, I think this is just another facet of it. So, and I love how you describe this, you know, Jamaican, you know, Caucasians and Asians. And it always amazes me when people, and I used to travel a lot and I used to work in London quite a bit. And it always amazed me when I would be with people from the States who, when we got to London, they'd be really shocked at, you know, the Asians or the Indian cultures in London who were speaking pure, you know, English. British English, you know, and it's like, wait, I'm so confused by this. I'm like, well, why is this different than someone who is African American or Asian and was born in the U.S. and they speak perfect English? I don't understand why suddenly this is confusing. So again, it's kind of that instant little bit of, you know, discrimination.
Right. It's like an African American speaking fluent Spanish. I mean, it happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So have you ever found any sort of, I will call it discrimination from a sexual attraction perspective of, you know, being an African Jamaican man, you know, African American Jamaican, and the gay community and finding someone attracted to you? Do you ever experience that?
Someone of the same sex or opposite sex?
Same sex.
Okay, but let's say this. I go to work every day and people walk up to just smell me. I don't know if that makes sense, but apparently they like how I smell. Because my colognes and so forth. And it's not just men, it's men and women. So, I mean, I find that, I don't know if it's unusual or if it's, I don't know. I don't think it's any different from anybody else. You tell me, I mean, what have you found?
I actually have seen that some people would like, I could never be with a black man, or I could never be Asian.
Or Jamaican man. Okay, I get that now. Yeah.
I just kind of go, really? What if you, and let's go to the kind of fun place. Okay, so what if you're like in a chat room and you're chatting with someone, or, you know, you are on Grindr or Scruff, and what if the person isn't really using their real picture, and suddenly you find you hit it off, and yeah, it would be really crappy of them to like use a false picture and then suddenly show up and, oh, so you're African American. I wasn't expecting that. But it's like, really? So it's almost, again, it's almost its own little hidden.
Well, you know, there's a perception of, you know, an African American and endowment, and then there's also, it goes further to being Jamaican and relating endowments. But I just laugh at it because it's just ridiculous. Not saying it's, you know, far-fetched or not true, but I'm saying it's just ridiculous to even think that way, because it's just ridiculous.
Well, to a degree, and to some people it isn't, but you know, for a lot of people, I would say, okay, so if that's the focus, then you're
wasting my time.
You know, because there's so much more than the man's appendage than to the man than that, even though for some people that's really important. But I find that really interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to go there. Didn't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but you know, it is one of those, I guess it's almost, you know, and you know, let's just be really raw here. You know, there's a lot of assumption around Asian men and their endowment, you know. It's just so interesting, the assumptions that get made about things based on skin, ethnicity, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And when we're in reality, everybody's different.
Precisely. I mean,
we're unique. We're all so powerful in our own ways that if you don't give someone the chance, you kind of have short-sold yourself in the long run, you know? So what about personality-wise? Do you find that there's a big conflict in personalities from, you know, in general, you know, African-American, you know, Jamaican, Hispanics, Asians, when you're out in the gay culture? Is there kind of that personality clash that shows up, or is it?
Not all times, and I would say not really. I've experienced it once or twice, so it's not commonplace. It's not commonplace at all.
I can tell you here in California, it can be, which is really interesting. You would think being one of the most liberal states in the country that you wouldn't see it, but I, you know, we'll get into that because we're going to go to break here in just a few seconds too. But you know, it's interesting to watch what transpires when cultures do start to mix and mingle. And actually, when we come back, on a kind of give a little example that I just hit me from this past weekend when I was doing something that it showed the power of community and how you come together. And when we come back, I really want to talk a lot too about what you're doing with Shades of Pride, and we'll start talking about National Voices of Equality and Education and Enlightenment, because I know you've got some powerful programs and I really want the listeners to get to hear about those programs. So when we'll be talking about that, as well as sharing some things around different ways that we do and can band together as a community, regardless.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
I am not the woman I used to be. I'm free with Minister Diane Jones. Monday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet. This is your chance, ladies, to hear stories of hope and healing from someone who's been there. Someone who has fought back from the horrors of incest. Minister Diane's innocence was stolen from her in the land of alcoholism and mental illness, which led to her being emotionally, physically, and sexually abused by her parents. Yet in spite of this trauma, she has gone on to become a successful wife, mother, registered nurse, and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not the woman I used to be. I'm free is a straight-up show to enlighten you and to lighten your load. Do not let the weight of this world or the things that have happened to you control your life. For more on the show and Diane and her book, The Story of Me, email her directly from her show page here on TogiNet. Then, join us for I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be, I'm Free, with Minister Diane Jones, Monday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
The Mary Beth Wells Hour is a talk radio show where we reach out, reach deep, and talk about topics of substance. We'll cover points of interest, such as World War II and the Holocaust, the Vietnam War, the planets and the oceans, skydiving, rock climbing, and much, much more. Join me every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time as we delve into and discuss fascinating subjects. It's a program to pique your interest for sure.
Oh,
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens.
And we are back, and we are talking about the different levels of discrimination that can be experienced, whether you're in the gay community or in society in general. My guest, Akil Campbell, is with me. And so we're going to keep talking about this discussion. And what I was going to share right before we went to break was how interesting it is when you do get together a group of individuals, whether they're gay, straight, it doesn't really matter. But this last weekend, I went on a group event in LA with 60 gay men, and it was a bike tour of Los Angeles. And I found it really fascinating as we were waiting to get started. And we were in West Hollywood, so right in the heart of, you know, Gayville. And everybody was kind of in their own little cliques, so to speak. And my partner and I, we don't live in LA, so we're really like on the outskirts of the group. We don't know anybody. But I watched as, you know, everybody was kind of in their little groups and talking their own little talk and chatting it up and everything, almost as if, okay, we're just kind of here right now, you know, and if we don't really know you, you're not part of our group. But then the moment we got on our bikes, and again, 60 guys on bikes, mm-hmm. LA, we were like a little tribe. We were like our own little group of Boy Scouts, no pun intended, but suddenly the camaraderie and the community, people that were in this together for the next 6 hours. And it was so beautiful to watch because there wasn't anybody in the group at that point in time that wasn't part of the team and part of the group. We suddenly just kind of rallied together. And I always find that interesting when, especially with gay men, that, and I've seen the same thing happen when I've gone on gay cruises. It's like, people come on, here we are, we're coming on the boat, we're all fabulous. And then suddenly, the minute the boat pulls away from the dock, it's like, okay, shit, we're now with all these people 7 to 10 days that are just like, you know, love each other. And it's so interesting. Right. But enough about that. I think I want to really here and talk about community stuff, because that's really one of the things I really loved about you, Akil, first started talking to you about coming on the show, was this overriding passion you have for, you know, really being involved in your community. So what drew you to Shades of Pride? What was the big draw there to really be involved?
Well, how I got involved, when I was finishing up my master's in public health, one course I was doing required me to actually create a nonprofit. Didn't have to be real, just something on paper. And I took it further. I actually created a nonprofit, set up a website, and I presented this. And after reviewing it, the folks said, well, Akil, I mean, it's a great idea. Perhaps you should take it live. And I did it. And it was incorporated, got the 501c3 nonprofit status. The name was or is Men United for HIV/AIDS Awareness. So while I tried to figure or navigate my way around Raleigh, I met a few wonderful gentlemen who joined the board, and we were producing health education materials for some of the clubs, and we distributed some of those and tried to get the word out, you know, regarding safe sex and safer sex practices. Someone in Charlotte got wind of what we're doing, and they had tried before to start a Black Pride movement here in Raleigh. So he reached out to me by email and asked if I'd be willing to meet with a few others, see if we could get it off the ground. And I hesitated for a bit because I wasn't out yet. And then I spoke with my board, and we decided to go along and try seeing if we could actually get this off the ground. We met November 9th, 2009, in the Lifestyle Center of Whole Foods, one of our first greatest sponsors.
Wow.
And took off from there.
Wow.
Just, you know, it was actually three guys and I think maybe four or five ladies that met for the very first time. And within 9 months, we delivered the first Triangle Black Pride.
That's very powerful. So let's kind of talk about that fear, because this is where the coming out comes.
It really, right.
Like suddenly, you know, it's kind of like exactly what I went through. It's like suddenly when I decided to start this radio show, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know, I mean, I do know somewhat how many people listen and how many people download, but I was taking myself out on a bigger stage to the world.
Right.
And suddenly there was a little bit of, oh my God, I'm going through another phase of coming out. It sounds like that's kind of what you experienced as you began to launch this nonprofit too.
Right, right, precisely. Yeah, I just didn't expect it.
Right, and I think sometimes this is a piece that we all miss when we navigate our life as gays and lesbians. And I think if I could share anything today, which there's beautiful stuff that we've shared, but it kind of comes back to one simple principle. You never stop coming out, regardless right. of where you are in the journey. There will always be something, you know, that you will find yourself in your gay, lesbian, transgender life, you know, queer, whatever all the letters are we have these days, but there will always be something that you go, ooh, okay, I might be facing coming out once again. So it sounds like that, you know, obviously the organization's been around now for a couple of years. This was really a powerful movement. And I want to make sure the listeners really understand this isn't just about, you know, the whole HIV and AIDS awareness sort of stuff. This is what I love about the entire program you put together, because I mean, you address stuff like, you know, diabetes and breast,
prostate cancer, everything, the whole family.
Very much focused on the minority population, correct?
Correct.
And those are some very special challenges for minority populations. And I don't know that the average American understands or appreciates that these diseases really affect minority populations so much more in such a greater way than the average Caucasian individual. Right. Would that be a correct assumption?
That is correct. I can share this with you real quickly. We have perhaps 11 workshops scheduled for the 28th of July, that Saturday, ranging from safer sex talks to overcoming the false self, prostate cancer, and self-advocacy for LGBTQ men and their families, the psychology of male trophies and role-playing, Mars as a Girl, African-Americans and strokes, understanding depression in black gay men with Antoine Craigwell from New York, understanding transgender and being gay in Greek, and a few others. So, I mean, there is a diverse theme. It's about factors or matters which affect not just one group, but we try to cover all groups and all different issues that the LGBTQ community deals with on a whole.
Well, and I want to make sure that everybody understands what you just shared. This is a powerful day of workshops, and I love the diversity of what you're sharing. So if somebody wants to participate, learn more, where's the best place for them to get that information?
It would be trianglebackpride.org, and then just click on the 2012 events, and every event is listed there with additional hyperlinks.
Excellent. And I will make sure that that link also gets put up on the show page here on the Coming Out Lounge. But it's powerful stuff, because this is what, you know, so many communities need. And even if you're not in the Raleigh area, I just say go check out the site, because you might see something and you might inspire your own community. Go to your own LGBT center, whether it's, you know, a Black Pride center or not, doesn't matter. Go to your centers, go to your own community and say, you know, I saw this going on in Raleigh. I think this would be a great program. I'm quite sure if you're listening, you go, wow, that would be a really great program to bring. I'm sure that Akhil would actually take your call and share some of his wisdom and knowledge, because this is a movement that I think is so important, not only for, you know, LGBT communities, but our family of people of color is, I guess, the best way for mm-hmm. me to share that, and other ethnicities are as much a fabric of our world and our United States as anybody. And sometimes I think we neglect the fact that there are special circumstances that need to be addressed for people in these minorities, because it does take a larger toll. And, you know, I feel so passionate about this, because I love all of my brothers and sisters in our communities. So anyway, we are getting ready to go to another break here in just a few minutes, but I want to make sure that we also talk about National Voices for Equality in Education. So what's a quick description you can tell me about that work that you do?
National Voices for Equality, Education, and Enlightenment looks at and addresses bullying in high schools. They offer several programs ranging from support, anti-bullying programs and workshops, And I'll share this with you. It's the nonprofit is only a few years old, but tune into Secret Millionaire on August 5th.
Mm.
Well, wonderful surprise. And wow. They just recently signed Michelle Williams, formerly of Destiny's Child, I think it is, who right. is going to be one of their celebrity spokespersons. So they're doing great work. And I serve as an advisory board member for them.
So now this work that's being done, it's being taken into schools, correct?
Yes, and they facilitate workshops for those being bullied as well as for the aggressors in high schools, and also workshops for parents of bullying victims and the aggressors as well.
Okay. So is the focus on all aspects of bullying, or is it just
all aspects? All aspects, from cyberbullying, every aspect of it. Additional information can actually be found on the website, which is NVEEE. That's three E's, NVEEE.org, NV.org.
So what drew you to that organization?
Jahara Saunders, the founder, she and I worked together back in Miami, and she was once a bully, and she actually learned the errors of her ways, and she's a beautiful person inside and out. And when she thought of doing this, she reached out to me, and we sat and thought about names, and whenever she has an idea, she would sometimes shoot it by me to get my opinion or feedback, and she now has a very extensive board. Diverse group, very strong, professional people. So
what would you say the real, because there's a lot of different bullying organizations going on. In fact, one of the first shows I did was with another one called Free to Love. And it's so interesting to see how each one does things just slightly different. What would you say is really the unique thing about NVEEE? What is their unique spin on?
For you to have a successful program or nonprofit, your volunteers, your board, anybody involved must be passionate about the mission and the vision of the agency. And she has just that. She has been told, no, don't do this. But no, it's about her drive, her vision, and she will do whatever it takes to make something done. She actually sold her car to fund some of the programs.
Wow.
Right. She's just that driven. So
that's amazing. And that is passion. And I want to continue to have that discussion when we come back from the break, because I think that organization, the organization that you're working with Black Pride, they're just so powerful. And I know there's a couple other organizations. So when we return, we'll continue to talk with Akil Campbell about all these beautiful organizations he works with and about being a dual minority in the LGBT community.
You've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with coming out coach Rick Clements. We'll be right back after these messages.
I look into the window of my mind.
Get ready to laugh along with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Ellie Loprete. Friday evenings at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com. This is a truly realistic, no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is method that will have you laughing and crying, surviving while struggling, and hammering away at the hardships as you travel through the greatest journey of your life. Get empowered by joining thousands of other parents who have also decided to take a leap of faith into a double career with longer hours and half the pay simply because of the love they have for their children. Together, we are rebuilding a new economy that will support us rather than enslave us. Never again will we have to choose between raising our children and earning to provide for them. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. For more on Allie and her success, check out her website, OurMilkMoney.com. So come get empowered with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Allie Loprete, Friday afternoons at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying to 14 ways to get a baby to eat and so much more, it's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on toginet.com.
Welcome back to the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens.
And we're back in our final segment talking with my guest, Akil Campbell. And we're going to just kind of pick up where we left off talking about these beautiful organizations that he's working with and the uniqueness that they bring. So let's go back to NBEE. So if a teen or someone who's really experiencing bullying, what are some of the services that they could find by coming to that website?
Well, let me look at this one second. They have continuing support. They provide educational services, support groups, legal service providers. They can do referrals for that. They have mentoring programs. They actually have NVE ambassadors. And they're trying to launch this program nationally so that there'll be an ambassador in perhaps every major city. And that's going to happen eventually. They have several signature campaigns called the Not On My Watch campaign, where attendees actually sign a pledge to not just be standbys, but to play an active part in removing or stopping bullying whenever they see it occurring. And then there's also the Peace for a Day campaign. This is going to be something which tries to pull the community together in one place, like a fair or festival of sorts, something similar to that, where they learn about bullying and what can be done to prevent bullying and what to do if you actually see it happening.
Right. You know, and some of the statistics they have on the site are just so compelling. And I've seen these because I personally sit on the board of directors for a teen home here in California. But, you know, just one that really always surprises me when I see it is, you know, every 7 minutes a child is bullied on a school playground. Mm-hmm. That's just absolutely amazing, you know, to me that is that rampant in our society in this day and age. And, you know, I was talking a little bit about this before we went to break, but, you know, as I move and groove in the gay community, which isn't a whole lot of time. I mean, I live in a suburban area of LA, and our gay community in this area it's there, but it's kind of under the covers, so to speak. But when I go to West Hollywood or I go to Palm Springs or San Diego, it's amazing to me to watch the bullying that occurs within our own community, but yet it doesn't actually even get labeled as bullying.
Bullying, right.
You know, and I think sometimes as adults, we miss this piece. You know, we started out the show talking about discrimination, but I really think at times it's more bullying than discrimination or racism. It's that piece of we're all in this together, regardless of color, regardless of body stature, regardless of how big your male appendage is. We are all in this together. And I think at times our own community gets a little bit jaded in that view of if you're not, you know, chiseled chest and 9 inches of hard, you know, male appendage and, you know, movie star looks and da 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 da, da then you don't belong. And I think it's really kind of sad because in our own way, we're contributing to this bullying problem that exists. It just happens to be bullying of, quote, adults at that stage.
Right.
And I'm sure you come across that, too, in the work that you do within your own community.
Yeah, there's actually this book I read. I forgot who the author is. It's called The No Bullshit Rule. No, The No Asshole Rule, forgive me. But it's a real book. And it looks at bullying even in the workplace. And NVE will eventually look at doing programs for workplace bullying as well. There's always this one person in the office who is just a bully. But, yeah,
so it gets overlooked. Pride for a few minutes. So what would be your goal for the coming year with Shades of Pride, that if you could get some support and stuff around this, what would you like the audience to really know that, you know, this is where we see it going, this is what we'd like to accomplish?
Well, we definitely want to be a voice for the minority LGBT group, not just for African Americans, but for all minority groups. We want to be able to deliver programs, offer free health screenings to all minority groups. but it requires partnerships with other service providers. So we want to have that accomplished. And although we are Triangle Black Pride, our mission, our vision is to extend into other counties, especially rural counties where services may not be available, and have perhaps some mobile units going in and doing some screenings and so forth.
You know, what you just described, Akil, is really interesting, because I actually spent a portion of my life growing up in Arkansas. And, of course, at that time I was a teen. And did I know I was gay? Probably. You know, I had the locker room attractions and all that. Mm-hmm. But typical Bible Belt, you know, and typical very racist towards people of color. And I think this is what's really powerful is, you, in my mind, are the kind of guy that if you can make this work in this particular area and get out to the rural areas of your own state of North Carolina, you could become the blueprint or, you know, the foundation for taking this program into other similar areas and starting to replicate it and, you know, kind of the rinse, wash, repeat sort of story. You know, let's do it and again and again. So I just think it's so powerful how you're setting this all up. What is one of the biggest challenges you're facing right now with Shades of Pride?
Funding. I think we all are. Funding, most definitely.
Yes.
Because this is, we wish to actually, we wanted to promote, especially local LGBTQ artists, vocalists, musicians, and so forth. But, I mean, we just couldn't do it. It's just not there. There's so many other things which we'd like to do, but the funding just isn't there for that. So we're trying our best. We really are.
And I would assume, like most nonprofits, you get funding wherever you can get it. But is there any particular big fundraising events that happen throughout the year or anything that really bring in money for you, or is it just donations?
We try to do monthly events, and then we also approach businesses for sponsorships. I'll thank our current sponsors, which include Equality North Carolina, Barefoot, the Great Raleigh Convention and Visitors Bureau, Triangle Financial Advisors, Glow TV, the LGBT Center of Raleigh, DPAC. You mentioned them earlier before. Those are our strongest supporters this year. We lost a few from last year, but we thank the ones that we currently have.
And I think this is common in the nonprofit world right now. I know my nonprofit here, we do a big fundraiser in March, and, you know, we were down a substantial amount this year from last year. And I guess in talking through this program today, it is about really, you know, looking hard at who you are in your own community, what you need to do for your own community. And just not forgetting that literally, I mean, now I'm going to sound like I'm, you know, doing a tell, but literally any little bit helps, you know.
Precisely.
It doesn't take a whole lot, you know. Give up that Starbucks coffee for, you know, one day a week and, you know, throw it at your local charity. It really is, can and is that simple, you know. And it may not seem like a lot, but you get 20, 30, 40 people giving up a Starbucks coffee once a week, 4 weeks out of the month. Suddenly there's some money that begins to truly flow in and really be a huge impact. So what really inspires you as a person?
I live to help. If I can, I will. I'm just that driven. If I can do something, I'll do it. If I can do something, I'll do it. It's just, I like seeing people happy for some strange reason. I do. I don't know why, but I do.
So I'm going to kind of switch gears on you after that beautiful statement. If you witness someone being harassed or being dealt some discriminatory or racist sort of actions or remarks, what would Akil do?
I stop it. I step in and I stop it. I'll say something about it. Sometimes I'm told to just mind my own business because I'm only 6'2" and maybe 150 wet. But yeah, I just can't stand by and do that. Because as a child, and I was, of course, perhaps the skinniest person in high school, and I got picked on. I was bullied in high school. And I stood up to my bully, and he became one of my biggest friends, literally. Right. So, yeah, I definitely would step in. I mean, if I step in, somebody else steps in, we can stop this altogether. You know, it takes one person to start.
Well, yeah, I think it does. I love that. It takes one person to start. So I want to make sure that we don't miss the websites, because I'm going to go into a series of quick questions that I always do with each guest that comes on the show. But before we do that, I want to make sure everybody hears the website addresses. So NVEEE.org is the one for National Voices Education or Equality Education and Enlightenment. And the website for Shades of Pride, Akhil?
It's TriangleBlackPride.org.
So again, TriangleBlackPride.org, check that one out if you're in the Raleigh area. Even if you're not, go look at what they've got coming up on the 28th, correct?
Well, it's July 27th through 29th. And may I just add one more thing? We spoke about homosexuality and homophobia in Jamaica. There's actually a documentary being done or being introduced by Celine Baker out of New York. It's called Taboo Yardies. And that will speak on everything that we spoke briefly of in Jamaica, interviews with the prime minister and his cabinet and everything. So, I mean, if you are in the area, stop by on Saturday and come see that.
What's the name of it again? Taboo?
Taboo Yardies. T-A-B-O-O Yardies. Y-A-R-D-I-E-S.
Cool. Love to see that. So, all right. So I'm going to just ask you a quick series of questions. Like I said, I always do this with all my guests just to get their own perspective and then personalize who they are a little bit. So what's the funniest thing about being a gay man?
The funniest thing you said?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, people think I can't change a flat tire, I guess. I don't know.
Who's your hero?
That's a tough one. Barack Obama.
So, a gay icon, dead or alive, that you'd love to have dinner with?
I don't know. I can't. Yeah, maybe Elton John. How does that sound?
And the best thing about being gay is?
Shopping.
Shopping? That's the stereotypical thing to say.
There's nothing else I could think of right now. Yeah. I guess it's a talent. I don't know. I guess we are somewhat more talented, and we try to stretch or go beyond the envelope, or if that's the term. We think outside the box, I think, most times. It's a natural gift or talent, I think.
Yeah, we try to stretch. I think that's a really cool way to put it. So, who had the most impact in your own coming out process?
My sister, I guess, perhaps.
Great. Well, Akhil, I want to thank you for being here and sharing yourself with my listeners. It's been great having you on, and I know we'll be talking again at some point. So thanks again for sharing yourself and sharing your beauty and being who you are in this world. Next week, we will have someone really special on the show, and she's the full yes woman. She's the mother of a gay son, and she's a Jewish mom who carries all the guilt for her son being gay. It's my good friend Marla Gorlick. I can't wait to have her on. She is a side-splitting funny lady and a really powerful gal who has learned to turn her own full yes living into a full-time job as a coach. I can't wait to have her on and talk about what it's like to be the mother.
Thank you for joining us today with the Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clements. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for the Coming Out Lounge.